In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Exciting to greet you all with the new year, the new church year. Happy New Year. Last week we spoke about this entrance into the new year as a time that we enter into the kingdom of God through repentance, through change of mind, heart, will, change of life. And we partake of something much greater than we had before. So we partake of life more abundant, the life that we've been called to and destined for. Each of the Sundays of the church year is a time of renewal, a time of re-entering more deeply and more profoundly into that kingdom of God and feasting in that kingdom of God. One of the things that we do as Orthodox Christians, we've said this many times, is we feast a lot. We fast, but we also feast a lot. There's great joy in the Orthodox Church. There's great celebration and festivity. And this is what the gospel message is about today. That joy, that celebration, and that festivity of the kingdom of God. The parable is one that's familiar to all of us. In fact, we find this parable in two of the evangelists. St. Matthew wrote about it, and we heard about it in today's gospel reading, but also St. Luke covers this parable. And when we look at the two, we see some slight differences, because this was a parable that was not only covered multiple times by the evangelists, but most likely given multiple times by the Lord himself. As he went out and he taught and he preached the kingdom of God, he continued to repeat himself and gave these parables over and over and over again, so they would sink in, so they would penetrate into the minds, the hearts, the wills, and the whole entire life of those who are called to this kingdom. So there's repetition. But at each time the Lord gives the teaching, he gives it in a very personal way, either to that individual or to the community that he's speaking with. So there are slight variations. We'll speak a little bit about those variations today. But first, I want to open with a question. Because though the Lord had come to bring everyone into the joy of this kingdom, not everybody responded positively to the invitation. Do we remember why people didn't respond? What were some of the reasons that they gave?
One had a wife.
One had married a wife.
One had a cow.
One had oxen, that's right. What was the other excuse? Purchase the field, right? Now, a little bit harder question. This was from St. Matthew's Gospel. What about in St. Luke's Gospel? What are the excuses that are given there? They're different. That's an excuse at another time. But for this parable, the excuse was merchandise. One had to attend to his merchandise, and one had a farm. Now, most likely at that time, he was speaking to merchants and the farmers. And each of these parables had that application that was very personal to them. But we also have to understand that these parables have an application that's personal to us. Because there can be things in our own lives that keep us from entrance into that joy of the kingdom. We can have our own excuses. Now, of course, who ended up coming to the feast? Remember, those who were invited didn't want to come, so the Lord sent out the servants to bring others in. Those in the highways and the byways, those in the hedges, those along the roadside, the poor, the lame, the blind. Get everybody, basically, the Lord says, that my house may be full. Everybody gets that invitation to the kingdom, but not everyone responds. You know, when we think about why people didn't respond, we could say, well, it was the circumstances of their life. It was simply not their choice. It was their circumstances. They didn't really have any other options. But it doesn't hold water, that excuse, because when we look at those who did come, they're in the same circumstances of life. The invitation was first to the Jews, who were close to God, close at hand, but it was also then offered to the Gentiles, those who were far off, the highways and the byways. They were invited too. Now, did they not have farms? Were they not married? Did they not have merchandise? They had all of these exact same things that the Jews had. All of them. But they responded positively. It wasn't the circumstances. The circumstances of our lives can never keep us from the kingdom. It's what we decide to do with our free will that keeps us from the kingdom. You know, I looked online and I was researching some of the different professions that we find in the lives of the saints. And some were rich and some were poor, some were kings and queens, some were peasants. Some were single, some were married, some were monastics. Some were soldiers, doctors, even surgeons, fishermen, merchants, homemakers, sailors, students, architects, masons, carpenters, cooks, nurses, artists, undertakers, scientists, lawyers, even lawyers, beekeepers, and my personal favorite, charcoal burners. Remember the story we just recounted? And all of these people from all of these different walks of life accepted that invitation to newness of life. They entered into the kingdom. And of course you might say, well, Father John, we have all these different professions too. Some are married, some are single, and we want to enter into the kingdom too. And that's why you're here, right? That is why we assemble today, so that we can feast at the Lord's table in his heavenly kingdom. But what about when we're not here? What about when we're not here? This church is pretty full right now, but it's not full every single Sunday. And it's not just because we have so many visitors, which, by the way, we love to have you. It's because sometimes we're doing other things. Other things take precedent. You know, I want to share with you a quote, and it's from St. Gregory the Theologian. Here's what he says. Many, having planned many things, did not make it to tomorrow. If you are continually passing over today while waiting for tomorrow, by your little procrastinations you will be robbed by the evil one, as is his manner. St. Gregory speaks to us about procrastination in the spiritual life. And what is that but the postponing of entrance into the kingdom of God because we have other stuff to do? There are other things that take priority, that take precedent. And we say, well, I'll go and I'll correct things tomorrow. Maybe I'll attend church next week or the week after. Or at some point I'll start going to church more regularly. I'll do it. But not today, we'll do it tomorrow. Here's the rest of St. Gregory's quote. He says that the devil says to us, give me the present and to God the future. Give me your youth and to God your old age. Give me preference and let God take what is left. And he says to us, how great is the danger that surrounds you? How many are the unexpected misfortunes that life brings? You know, when we postpone our repentance, when we postpone our entrance into the kingdom, so tomorrow, tomorrow may not come. We may actually not be given more time in this life. And there are examples and parables in the scripture where the Lord tells us about people who said, soul, you've got many years laid up for you, all this riches, and enjoy yourself. Eat, drink, and be merry. Make your repentance later. And the Lord calls that man what? A fool. This very night your soul is required of you. Why have you waited? No, the temptation is there for all of us to postpone our repentance, to postpone entering more fully into that kingdom that's open to us. You know, often it's said, I will turn my life over to God after this or that point in my life. After I finish school, I've got a lot of schoolwork. Maybe after I get married, after I get my career going and make some money. Or perhaps after I retire and I have more free time. Or perhaps after having retired, I can travel the world and and see things and enjoy life a little bit. And in all of these things, it's kind of a summary. Is after I live the life I wanted to live, then I'll live the life that God wants me to live. This is the spirit of procrastination. And the sad thing about procrastination is procrastination is like a cancer that will remain with us unless if it's rooted out. Because when we wake up tomorrow, when that day finally comes, and we still have that same spirit of procrastination, we'll push tomorrow off one more day. And one more day. This is the very nature of procrastination, that it keeps getting pushed off. And how long does it keep getting pushed off in the spiritual life? If we are never healed of this disease, it is pushed off forever. We never enter into the kingdom of heaven because we've continually been postponing it and pushing it off. The kingdom of God is only entered when we put God first, ahead of everything else. This is the very entrance into the kingdom, and there is no other way in. One of the parables of this wedding feast speaks to us about someone who entered into the wedding feast but had no wedding garments. And the master found this person and said, how did you get in without the wedding garment? And he told the servants to bind the person, take them out, and cast them out of the feast. And there was what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Little history tells us that when the Jews had weddings, they were great festivities. Sometimes it would be not just one day, 2 days, 3 days, it'd be a whole week long. And people would come and they would rejoice. And the master of the house would prepare things for them. One of the things that he would prepare for them is a wedding garment. You know, sometimes when you, ladies especially, when you get ready for a wedding, what do you need for a wedding? A new dress, right? But this is something that is a historical kind of, not problem, but aspect to marriages and feasts. That we want to be well-dressed. And the master would provide this wedding garment for everybody who came. You would come, first day of the feast, you get a wedding garment. But how did this person not get a wedding garment? The answer is, he didn't come on the first day of the feast. He came late. He was busy with other things, who knows what, but something else. And he wasn't there. But then he showed up and he wanted entrance. But we can't really enter into the feast unless if we put God first. Remember the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. What was the first commandment? What's the context in which the commandments were given? Moses led the people out of Egypt, and they were on their way to the Promised Land. They were camped at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses goes up the mountain. He receives the Ten Commandments. He comes down and he tells the Ten Commandments to the people. And what is the first commandment? I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. Prefer nothing to me. Put nothing before me. I am your God. And you are my people. And this was a prerequisite for them, together with the other nine, to enter into the Promised Land. They needed to know the Lord God and to put him first. Now we might say to ourselves, and probably all of us can say this to ourselves, if there's a measure of humility within us, that we haven't done a perfect job at this. We haven't always put God first. And now it's day two, or day three, or day whatever in our life. And what happens if we show up to the feast not having come on the first day? Will we be cast out? And the answer is yes. If we don't come in full repentance. And what is full repentance? I'm going to tell you a story. I was in the Holy Land on a pilgrimage. And this pilgrimage was led by now Bishop Peter of Chicago. And this was kind of the end of the pilgrimage. And there was something of like a party that people on the pilgrimage were having. Some of the younger crowd, they were having a party because they weren't going to see one another anymore. But it was actually on the eve of the last day of the pilgrimage in which there was a great liturgy scheduled. And I remember because I was walking with Bishop Peter in the hotel, and some people came up to him and they said, "You know, I have this question for you. I want you to hear my confession in the morning." And Bishop Peter said, "Okay, we can do that." So they wanted to be ready for the feast. And then they said, "Well, I also kind of, I want your blessing for something else. There's this party that's going on tonight. I want to go to the party, and that's why I want the confession in the morning, so, you know, I can confess what happens at the party." And, you know, Bishop Peter's jaw dropped because it makes no sense. We can't plan on sin and then schedule our confession and somehow be convincing ourselves that we're putting God first. It doesn't work that way. God is now second. We went to the party first, and we're giving God second place. This is a challenge that can happen with us in anything. You know, the summer is over, and now maybe we're getting serious with our spiritual life again. Maybe we're going to wait till after football season because we enjoy the games on Sunday. Right? And it's hard to pregame when you're at liturgy. Or maybe we'll wait till after the Christmas holidays are over so we can have that time with our family. And then maybe in the new year we'll make things right with God. When we make these kind of plans that in the very nature of the plan itself put God second, and then we come second to God, that is not repentance. That is not. That's scheduling a confession after we've scheduled our sin. It doesn't work. So what do? We just give up? Of course not. We come to confession and we say, "I will never do that again. I will never put anything before my God. This is the first commandment. I will put God first." And the moment we do that, we have entrance into his kingdom. We feast at his table. We rejoice with him. Brothers and sisters, we've entered into this new church year. Let it be a year that we never miss out on feasting with God. And let us remember that that feast is found in putting God first. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.